How about the fact that Jesus is the most important thing in life? Is that it? Yeah, that's what we've been talking about. And as we have our eyes fixed on the things that matter, the things above, where Jesus is, done everything for you, paid the price for your sin, freed you, and all of a sudden as you look around you, things look different. Things are different because Jesus did a big, big, awesome thing for you. So when you look around, you're like, this is cool, my life's different now. And you start to see the things that actually matter. You start to love God. You start to love people. Okay? And so as we've gone through this, he talked about sin, right? He said as you start to see what matters and things come into focus, you start to really hate sin because you realize it's just destroying you. You realize that sin's fun for a while, but then in the end, it just hurts really bad. And it doesn't get you anywhere. And as you live for sin or yourself or sinful things, when you get to the end, you look back and you're like, that was a huge waste. Why'd I do that? But as Jesus does this change in you, you also see something else. Not just that sin's a waste, but that the things that Jesus offers makes your life worth it. That as I love people well, as I take care of others, as I put other people first, as I love my God and share hope with other people, all of a sudden my life has some meaning. It has some value. There's a purpose to this because it lasts forever. And it's so much better than choosing all that junk. And so I give up the death and I put on life. And it changes me. And then last week we looked at how Paul kind of stops in the middle of that and he goes, well, let's check it out. How are you doing? And he holds up this mirror for us to say, this is what a life that's hard after Christ looks like. How are you doing? Are you still trying to hold on to the junk that's like this heavy weight pulling you down to the bottom of the ocean, the sin? Or are you actually living for life that's picking you up and bringing you into a different place where God has paid every penalty for you? It frees you. It lets you actually live. And so we looked at that last week, and this is how, this is how Paul continues. We're in Colossians chapter 4, and we're in verse 2. We're just going to read a couple verses tonight, because tonight we're going to do some worship and prayer, and that's going to be most of the service. I'm not going to talk very long, but I do want to point out some scripture that what we're in. So just before we start, will you guys pray with me? If you're coming in, just grab a seat and join us right where we're at. We're good. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we just ask that you help our time tonight. God, that you direct us. Lord, that every single person that come into this room know that they belong here. God, that we love them, that you love them. Father, no matter where they're at, no matter what's going on in their life, they belong in this place tonight, and they belong among the people that are here. And Father, we know that you love us so much, and we want to thank you for it tonight. And so as we open your word, we pray, God, that you teach us about how much you love us. And God, you teach us about yourself and how we can love you better. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so here it is. I'm going to read it to you. Colossians 4, verse 2 is how it starts. It says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So as we're going through this, and we've had this like awesome focus come into view because of what Jesus has done for us, and we see what's important, and that's the fact that Jesus has died for us, that he loves us, and that there's no other way to get back with God except through him. All of a sudden, we start to see the things that matter, the things that are actually important in this life. And then he says this next, continue then steadfastly in prayer. What does the word steadfastly mean? Does anybody know? It sounds like a big kind of intellectual word. What does that mean? Steadily? Ooh, that's kind of big for me too. Can anyone, like maybe two syllable word that you can replace that for so that I can actually say it? Anybody? No. What? I can't even, are you speaking English? Still, I'm not understanding English. Yeah, constantly, still, I can't think of a long, short word either, sorry. Here's the idea. Keep praying. There you go, one syllable, keep. Keep praying. Be a person who says, I know where all the source of my strength and my power, my whole life comes from. I know who's behind this whole thing. This whole universe that spins around and has motion and energy and does stuff. You know who directs it? You know who gives it power and strength to move? You know who keeps the sun actually shining and the ocean's waves crashing? The one with all of the power. It's our God who created us and died for us and loves us. And because of that, I'm going to constantly stay on my knees in prayer to Him because I can't do anything without Him. So as I look at my life, as I look at the things that are going to come about in my school year this year, some of you guys who are back to school now, and you're like, whoa, whole nother year of school. We just finished this last year. And here comes another one. And some of y'all who are like, I'm about to go to college. Woo-hoo, scary, huh? Yeah. Steve-O, he's already there. He's like, that's nothing. I've already done it. Talk to him if you want some good clues later on college. But here, you might be a little nervous about your year. Or there might be other things in your life. You got a choice. I'm going to try to do this myself. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to stun my teachers and my parents and they will see how awesome I do this thing. Or you're going to say, hey God, what's next? I love that phrase. What's next? Because it always keeps me on my knees before God saying, Lord, I'm not going to try to do anything on my own. I'm not going to go try to make friends for myself and be really popular. I'm not going to go out there and try this like to get on the sports team and have a really good position on it. I'm not going to try to get straight A's and a 4.0. Some of you guys like a 6.0, but whatever. Smarty pants. I'm going to go, God, what's next? How can you help me do whatever it is you want me to do in my life? What sport do you want me to play? Who are the people you want me to pour my time into at school? How do you want me to interact with my teachers? What do you want me to study? What is it that you have planned for me? Because I'm tired of telling you my plans. You know why he says this? Because he just spent a whole book telling us to keep our eyes focused on His stuff and not ours. And so if we pray and go, hey God, this is what I want you to do for me. We're saying, hey God, all of my stuff, remember that stuff? Can you make this happen? I mean, I'm not going to try to make it happen, but how about you make it happen for me? Instead of going, hey God, my eyes are focused on your stuff. My eyes are focused on you because you know what's best. Why don't you tell me what you want me to do? And all of a sudden, we're surrendering to the fact that He really is our Lord. He's our King. He's the one with the plan. And we pray prayers like that instead. Hey, God, what's next? God, what would you have me do this year? How much time would you have me pour into sports? And how much time do you want me to pour into other people and your work and your kingdom? How should I spend my time and my money and my relationships this year? God, what do you want me to do? And that's what we do when we go to God in prayer. And He says, keep in prayer. And look what He asks us to pray for. He says, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. What's the first thing we should do when we pray? Did you hear it? Ask for a turkey and some gravy? No, what? Thank you, God. You've done so much for me. Even if my whole life is not that stunning and I don't have a whole bunch of awesome stuff and drive Ferraris, I can still be thankful to you. You know why? Because I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to paradise. You have saved my soul from an eternity in hell. And so I have an immeasurable amount of stuff to say thank you for the rest of eternity. And I'm going to start today. And I'm going to use my prayers as a way to say, God, thank you. All right. And then he says this, at the same time, pray also for us. But check out what he wants us to pray for him for. That God may open to us a door for the word. We want to be able to tell people the gospel. Wait, Paul, that's what you want me to pray for you for? Like, there's so many awesome things in this world that I could pray for you for, you know? Like, no, I just want you to pray that I get a chance to tell people about Jesus. That's it. That's my prayer request. How often is that your prayer request? How often do you have things so in focus and you know that God's the most important thing in your life that it burdens your heart enough to pray for the people in your life that don't know Jesus? And so Paul says, as things come into focus, you know what your prayer will start to look like? There'll be thanksgiving, saying, God, thank you for all of this. And then all of a sudden, you're going to start to pray for people to be able to come into your life that you can share Christ with. And you're sitting there like, Rob, like, that is not me right now. I'm not that person who's like, I can't wait to like get down by my bed at night and start like praying for all these people. Like, I just get to know Jesus. Worry about that part first. Start falling in love with Jesus. Remember who Jesus is. Open up the Bible and look at your Savior. Look at the things that He's done for you and fall in love with Jesus. Because remember, He's the focus. And as you start to fall more in love with Him, your prayer will naturally start to do that. your heart's going to naturally start to say, I really want other people to know Christ because of what he's done for me. I could personally testify how awesome Christ is. And I want other people to know that. And so that's his prayer. Pray that we get this opportunity. But it's really cool because he's not sitting in some really comfortable couch with air conditioning, watching a big flat screen TV with the Patriots destroying every other football team out there. He's not doing that. He could be, because that's going to happen this season, but he's not still. You know what he's doing? Look what it says. On account of which I am in prison. Not so hot, right? He's in prison right now. Okay, so you don't want me to pray for you that rats don't like come bite you in the middle of the night and give you like the plague. You don't want me to pray that these guards don't come in the middle of the night again and just beat you. You don't want me to pray that they actually feed you and you have something to eat. No, the prayer request is this, that even while I'm in prison, I can make it clear, which is how I ought to speak, talking about the gospel. That as these guards come in to beat me and take my food and throw it on the ground or spit in it, you know what? That I'll be able to still, even in the middle of that, go, I want to clearly tell you the gospel and boldly to these guards. What? The same dude who just beat you last night? Yeah, that's what I want you to pray for me for. You think Paul had this radical, awesome, focused view of what was important? I mean, you're sitting in prison and all these things are happening to you. You've got to have a grasp on what actually matters to be able to ask this. Because, just to be honest, as I'm sitting there, I would probably be the guy who's like, man, just pray they just forget or accidentally give me a pepperoni pizza instead of that gruel. You know, like, come on, like, I need something good here. Or just, it'd be so easy for us to focus on us. But this whole book is about how we need to stop focusing on us because we're not the best thing out there. You are treated like you're the best thing out there, though. God treats you that way. And he loves you that much. And because of that, that gives you the freedom to stop looking here and start looking there. Help me share the gospel so that these people know how much they're loved. Help me share the gospel clearly so that these people have hope, so they don't spend eternity in hell, so that they can be with a God who loves them and created them. When our focus comes into view, that can be our heart. That can be our prayer. Then he goes on a little further and he ends with this. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. Y'all, you're going to have all sorts of things this school year, like every other school year, trying to get your time. There's going to be like chess club, and there's going to be robotics, and there's going to be football, and there's going to be, you name it. All right? You can sit there in your own little head and catalog all the things that you already have on your agenda, and you're like, I got to do all these things, and I got to get them all in. Paul wants to urge you tonight something. Making the best use of your time. Think about your schedule this year. Think about how important these things are. And if you're spending your time the way Jesus would have you spend your time, and I'm not telling you how because I don't know. I don't know what God's trying to tell you. Maybe you're supposed to be in that football field the whole time because he's using you for the gospel out there. I don't know. But I do want to encourage you to do this. Ask him. Pray that to him. See what he tells you. See how he leads you. You might be surprised, and he might be like, look, I need you to get rid of some of this stuff just because I have something so much better for you over here, and you're wasting your time. I don't know how God's going to answer you, but I do know he wants you to ask, what's next? And so he says, make the best use of your time so that you can share the gospel with these people. And then he says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Now, I like me some salt. You ever have like a big old ribeye steak? Anybody? Dude, it's marbled, all that fat going through. It's all greasy and delicious. Oh, it's so good, right? But it's even better if you have just the right salt and seasoning over that thing. Sometimes a little scoop of butter, too, if you didn't know that. Ooh, right on top, it melts over. I'm getting hungry. Yeah, I had salad for dinner. Yum. Salt makes things good. It makes you thirsty. Thirsty. It preserves things. Salt is just this awesome thing where he's saying, let your words be like that. Speak with words that are gracious. And how many junior hires are in here? Middle schoolers? Raise your hand real quick. Just, I know it's scary. They're all looking at you. Raise your hand real quick. I know, we love you guys. Listen, listen, middle school is a scary place. There's lots of mean kids there. I am nervous sometimes to walk down a middle school hallway. I go to Jefferson and I walk down the hall like this because I'm afraid the kids are going to be mean to me and poke at me, right? It can be scary. High school can be the same way too. There can be groups of people that just don't like you and they want you to know it. You guys are like, yep. I can. Now listen, you're not called to respond the same way. You're not called to look back at people who are being mean to you and be just as mean. You're definitely not called to be one of those people. You know what you're called to do? Because you see what's important. I thought that was a fire alarm. I was like, we don't have fire alarms in the building. Even though it's a fire station. Scary. I'm so distracted. Listen, it's going to be your choice this year, guys. How will you speak to other people? How will you talk to kids in the hallway? How will you respond to people who are being mean to you? Will it be words that are like salt? Will it be words that are gracious that people are going to go, why are you not being a jerk back? I don't get it. And that's your opportunity to say, let me tell you why. Are they going to be able to see Christ in you by the way that you speak? Are you going to invite people into groups of other Christian friends where they can be around good influences? Are you going to share the gospel? I know I'm asking you lots of questions because I want you to start thinking. As this school year starts, start thinking and start bringing those questions to the Lord. Say, God, what would you have me do? How would you have me speak? It's so easy to go back to school like this, you know, and be like, all right, one more year in middle school. I'm almost done. I'm in eighth grade. I just got to like get through. I'll be mean to everybody and they'll think like, you know, that's not what Jesus would have you do. I don't have to pray and ask him that. He already told us that. It's right here on my phone, the ESV version of the Bible. All right. He says, let your speech always be gracious. He's already answered that one for us. How will you talk? Will they be words like Paul says, hey, pray for me so that I can preach the gospel clearly and that I can love people with my words? Or will I be that person that just trashes people with my words and responds? I think about Jesus. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? And they're like cursing at him and they're yelling things to him and they're mocking him and they're hitting him and beating him. The whole time, he just looks back with love. Not once did Jesus look back and scream words or make fun back. And I bet as the God of all creation, he was pretty witty and had some really good comebacks. And you know, he didn't. He sat there and he suffered. And you know what drives that? This love that we're talking about. I'm not asking you to be a pincushion. I'm not asking you to just go out there and just be destroyed by everybody. But I am asking you this. Because there are some people out there that might really hurt your feelings this year. You can either be totally destroyed by it and just wonder, like, man, why do people think this way of me? And let it eat you up inside. Or you can say, wait a minute, stop, Satan. Stop lying to me. I know who I am in Jesus. I know that I am loved more than anything by the God of all of creation. And that is the most important thing. And that will allow me to go back to these mean people and speak words of kindness and love that they might want to see the gospel that's in me. That's what Paul says to pray for. And of all people, as he's sitting in a prison and these guards are being that to him, he's able to respond in love. So he's given us that awesome example. Now tonight we're going to get a chance to practice this prayer that Paul's talking about. And some of our student leaders and our band are going to lead us through prayer and worship. And we're going to pray through the passage, the different things Paul tells us to pray about. And they're going to lead us in that. So you guys will be able to get in some groups, small groups, whoever's around you. You don't need to go sit anywhere. Just get, stand, and pray. And we're going to pray and worship, and start our school year off right in a way that says, God, you're the most important thing to us, and you're going to see it this year. As I go back into my school, you're going to see it this year. So let's beg him to show us what's next, all right? I'm going to start off the first prayer before the band gets up here, and we're going to just thank him. We're going to give some thanksgiving to the Lord tonight. And why don't you guys just where you're at for now until the band calls you up? Will you just bow with me and let's just thank God and pray? Lord, there are so many things that we can be thankful for. And God, all of us have it in different ways in our hearts that we could express that to you tonight, different things we could thank you for. But together, we just want to say thank you for Jesus. God, thank you for the most important thing in any of our lives, and it's the hope of salvation. God, you freed us from sin. You freed us from ourselves and from this world. You give us the hope of eternal life. You told us why we're here. We don't have to walk around aimlessly and purposelessly. God, we know it's because you love us, because you created us. God, we thank you for making us a church, for making us a family that could come together and lift each other up in love, that we could come to a place like this tonight. And God, that we can pray together. We can sing your praises together as your body. So please, God, be pleased with us and what we bring forward to you tonight. Hear us. Hear our hearts. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.